Hi.
Hi.
No, I didn't shave for the Dharma Talk. It's the annual respirator fit testing at work. Maybe someday I'll shave for the Dharma, though. When Jaron, Ken, and Ann undertook Chukai a few weeks ago, I don't know how long is it now, they were given lineage papers. These are mythically a list of every teacher-student relationship from the Buddha directly to them. That's the bloodline. And there's the implication there that there's something continuous, something in the background that gets passed on, something that we're all pointing to with this practice. Maybe a different way of looking at the world. So if there were some eternal truth, what would that mean? Don't be thinking I'm about to answer that. Koan studies are renowned for asking us to discover our original nature. Laywoman Yu Dao Po connected deeply with the eternal Lotus Buddha while meditating on the truth for decades. Story goes, Yu Dao Po made donuts for a living. She also studied Zen with Master Longye Shuizhe, who told her to contemplate Linji's phrase, the true person of no rank. One day, she and her husband were delivering donuts, and as they walked through the street, they met a beggar who was singing, Happiness in the Lotus Land. Yu was suddenly enlightened, and she threw the tray of donuts to the ground. Her husband scolded her. Have you gone crazy? Yu slapped him, saying, This is not a realm you understand. She then went to see Longye, who immediately verified her awakening. One day after this, Longye asked the assembly, Which one is the true person of no rank? Yu shouted out this verse, There is a true person of no rank who has six arms and three heads. When she uses her full strength to cut, Mount Hua is split in two. Her strength is like the ever-flowing water, not caring about the coming of spring. The Lotus Sutra is a teaching on the many bodies of Buddha. The first section focuses on the unifying truth, the unifying truth of the universe, and the second section on the everlasting original Buddha. It is with that groundwork that Juyen asks his question. So the koan we'll look at tonight is case 75 in the Book of Serenity, as referenced by Robert Aiken in the Gateless Gate, case 12. And here are the first two lines. Juyen came to Yentu and asked, What is the original and everlasting truth? Yentu said, It moved. Or, if you try to hold it, it slips from your grasp. That truth is beyond our knowledge and perceptions. Movement, that movement, or change, or transience, is one of the seals of Buddhism. One of the truths that we are struggling with continuously. As Dogen says when we chant the Genjo Koan, when you practice intimately and return to where you are, it will be clear that nothing at all has unchanging self. It's all changing. Juyan came to Yantu and asked, "What is the original and everlasting truth?" And Yantu said, "It moved." Juyan said, "What about when it moves?" Or, "Tell me more." The Juyan said, "Tell what about when it moves?" And Yantu said, "You don't see the original and everlasting truth." Isn't that reminiscent of Yu Daopo's admonition to her husband when she said, "This is not a realm you understand. You don't see the original and everlasting truth." Now, technically, this is true. There's, according to Buddhism, non-self or no self. And there's some Buddhist philosophy saying that nothing can act upon itself, so how can non-self see the original truth when it moves? But the koan is more looking at this effort of understanding and non-understanding when it comes to koans. So maybe the point of this koan is to get us to understand, not to try to understand the point of koans. Dogen also says in the Genjo Koan, "Do not suppose that what you attain becomes your knowledge and is grasped by your intellect. Although actualized immediately, what is conceivable may not be apparent. You don't see it move." Parenthetically. "Its emergence," he says, "is beyond your knowledge." In the last talk that Tim gave at the retreat, he reminded us of the Shuso's koan that we'll hear during our practice period, where Zhao Zhou asks Nanchuan about the way and is told that everyday mind is the way. And Nanchuan's explanation in that says, "The way has nothing to do with knowing and not knowing." There's one of the chants in our chant books called the Song of the Jewel Mirrored Samadhi that we chant maybe once or twice a year. It says, "Just to depict it in literary form is to stain it with defilement." And yet here we are trying to understand it. Tenshin Reb Anderson has strong, extensive teachings on stillness, that the intimacy with this truth only happens when we are completely still. So how could you see it move? The unconditioned is beyond our grasp. And we cannot see the unconditioned through the conditioned eye. Conditioning meaning all of the things that happened that led to who we are now and how that impacts our perceptions. One of the benefits of this practice of meditation of ours is that we can get to sometimes see and understand our mental patterns that are not always so helpful. And in the course of sitting with this koan, there were three mental patterns that came up for me. The first was being so confident in my thinking that I could not listen to what the other person was saying. And that person being the teacher, Yentu. And I'm sure that I'm not the only person who gets so confident in their own thinking that they can't hear what the other person is saying. Week or so ago, a coworker of mine came into work and he complained that when it's time for me to leave for work, my wife always has to say blah, 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 blah. And about 30 minutes later, he looked at his phone, he got some email and made another complaint. I told her we need to keep more money in the checking account. How come she never listens to me? So I kidded him. I said, well, Mike, I asked her about that. Oh, really? What did she say? She said, all you ever say is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we know what that's like. So the next pattern that I noticed was in looking at how I was stuck. I noticed it, I knew I was stuck and not able to really hear the words. And the next pattern is turning a difficulty into a crisis. Anybody know anything about that? I know I'm not the only one. So commuting to work, driving, I realized I saw this pattern that my hands are like crushing the steering wheel and my asshole's going and that's not good for us. I mean, geez, so I'm having a disagreement with Yentu. He doesn't care. Geez, the guy's been dead for over 1,000 years. The third unhelpful pattern that I noticed in sitting with this koan, I got some help with noticing. In a Dokusan conversation, and that is grasping. That when we think we have something, we tend to clutch onto it, right? So maybe there's this tiny fleck of recognition, and that becomes the truth, and that becomes everything I'm going to hold on to. Well, it had occurred to me that maybe my disagreement with Yentu was simply a matter of the translation that I was looking at. So I checked out the most common translation of the Book of Serenity, which is by Thomas Cleary. Now, granted, if you're familiar with him, that turning to Thomas Cleary because you don't trust the translation from Robert Aiken is kind of like watching Fox News to find out about climate change because you don't trust what you're hearing from the Academy of Geophysicists. Nevertheless, here is Thomas Cleary's translation. Rian asked Yan Tao, what is the fundamental constant principle? Yan Tao said, moving. Rian said, when moving, what then? Yan Tao said, you don't see the fundamental constant principle. An important difference between the translations for me is that Cleary is saying you don't see the eternal truth itself, while Aiken is saying you don't see it move. Actually, I never really disagreed with Yentu. I just felt that he was maybe missing an opportunity to go further. Maybe Juyan's question, what about when it moves? What about when it moves? Was deeper than just asking, huh, tell me more. Maybe it was more like asking, okay, I'm trying to get this absolute truth thing. But what about this practice in the everyday world? Zen isn't just a philosophy. It's not just books and not even just sitting if we don't carry it out into the world. Right before the last Dogen quote that I said from the Genjo Koan, right before he denies the emergence becomes your knowledge and is grasped by your intellect, he says, realization comes forth simultaneously with the full experience of Buddha Dharma. And that movement of the original and everlasting truth is the actualization of Buddha Dharma. If we don't live our lives, Buddha is not enlightened. Juyan came to Yentu and asked, what is the original and everlasting truth? Yentu said, it moved. Juyan said, what about when it moves? Yentu said, you don't see the original and everlasting truth. The creak of my companion's joints, the smell of Bellingham Bay mingling with the scent of toasted almonds arising from downstairs, the stretching pain in my knee that I can't quite put my finger on, getting angry, and then making up and feeling in love, the reflection of a street lamp on wet asphalt. Isn't that the original and everlasting truth? Dancing?